You know why? I got 18 points. So I got to hurry. Brother Hendershot was right. Porcupine sermon. Amen. Lots of points. Amen. So let's stand. We're going to read just one verse tonight. And we'll do a quick review of our lesson from last week. And if you don't have a lesson, they're out there on the lectern back there. If you'd like one, I do them fill in the blank on purpose. I know some people like to do that. I always liked it because it helped me pay attention. And especially when I was in Bible college, Miss Sims, it kept me awake. Amen. Doing that. So not that I'll put you to sleep, but if you've had a long day, maybe you had a heavy meal, who knows? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. What a verse. I mean, you want to talk about one of the majestic verses in the Bible. The heartbeat of God is Ephesians 2, 4. Let's read it together. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Ready? Let's begin. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Father, again, please bless Your word now. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. In our last lesson, if you have a lesson there, we reviewed the believer B.C. You say, what's the believer B.C.? The believer before Christ. Amen. And that is verses 1, 2, and 3 of Ephesians chapter 2. And we learned some things about the believer. You know, you weren't always a believer. You weren't born a believer. Amen. That's why you had to be born again. Amen. And you say, well, what's a believer? It's somebody who believes in Jesus Christ. It's somebody that has recognized the fact that they are a sinner, cannot save themselves, and has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior to forgive them of their sins. That's what a believer is. But the believer B.C., before Christ, let me tell you what we were. Every one of us, and everyone without Christ tonight, meets every one of these qualifications too. Number one, you see there, bullet point, chapter 2, verse 1, we were all dead in trespasses and sins. It says there in verse 1, and you hath he quickened, or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Secondly, according to verse 2, it says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the cursed course of this world. We were not only dead, but we were directed in the wrong way, weren't we? Amen? You don't naturally do the right things. Naturally, because we're all sinners, we do the wrong things. That's why we don't have to train our kids to do wrong. Do we? Parents, help me. Preach. Amen? Grandparents, I know it's a different dynamic, but hey, no, we're directed. We are. And then, according to verse 2, it says there, the end there, it says, the Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We were dead, we were directed, we were disobedient because we were children of the disobedient one. Okay? Verse 3, it says, among whom we all had our conversation in times past. In what? The lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. You know what we were before we B.C., before Christ? We were defiled. We were defiled. We defiled ourselves. Okay? And then, according to the end of verse 3, it says, among whom also we had our conversation, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What were we? We were doomed. We were doomed. Without Christ, listen, without Christ, sinners have a sin debt that they have to pay for without Christ. By the way, it's to me, one of the greatest reasons to ever trust Christ is because you owe a debt that you could never pay, and He has already paid that debt for you and desires to put that on your account. Okay, so we're going to get in. We have two weeks, I think maybe three, I don't know, of the believer. We had the believer B.C. This week's lesson is the believer B.G., and that is the believer but God. Amen? But God. And so, number one, Roman numeral number one there is God's gracious condescension. Now, think about it, ladies and gentlemen. We're sinners. Amen? Amen? We're sinners, helpless, hopeless, sinners by birth and sinners by choice, not deserving of God's grace, not deserving of His mercy, but truly we deserve His judgment. You know what the word condescend means? It's a beautiful word. It means to stoop down. You ever seen the picture, the Michelangelo picture of Adam reaching up and God reaching down? The truth is, Adam could reach as high as he wanted. God had to reach down. Yeah. But God is God's condescension. It is God's gracious condescension. We didn't deserve it. He stooped down because He wanted to, ladies and gentlemen. He stooped down because He condescended unto us because He wanted to. So, next line there, in parentheses, you have God's gracious condescension, but indicates a change. It's what we call a conjunction. Some of you grew up in the 70s and 80s like I did. You remember conjunction, junction. What's your function? Amen. A conjunction indicates a change. In this case, it's us being dead and directed and disobedient and defiled and doomed. And what's the change? But God. But God. For His great love wherewith He loved us. So we're going to look tonight at Paul's use of the conjunction but in Ephesians. And I am going to go fast. I'm going to have to go fast because we've got 10 minutes here. Amen. I've got 18 points in 10 minutes. And don't say I can't do it because I can do it. Amen. Point number one, look at chapter 2, verse 4. And what we're going to do is we're just going to read the verses and I'm going to give you the point. Okay, chapter 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. What's the first conjunction here? But what do we see? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. And I do not have time to elaborate on each point. I hope you'll take a look at them and read these verses. But listen, we didn't deserve forgiveness, but God. And He gave us forgiveness, okay? Chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. We see, and all these points are going to start with F, and I fully confess for alliterating nightmare here. This was one of those ones where all the points, I almost ran out of words that started with the letter F here. So the first one is forgiveness, and then the second one, it says Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and that doesn't mean we came from outer space, it means we were outside of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Doesn't sound good. But now, there's that word, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So the first word there is forgiveness. The second word is fortunate. That but. We're fortunate. Why? Because of the blood of Christ. Fortunate. Okay, let me give you another one. Chapter 2, verse 19. Really, it starts there in verse 18. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. What do we have? Number three, fellowship. Fellowship, the but, the conjunction of fellowship, okay? Chapter 4, verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 7. Of course, we have chapter 4, we have all those ones endeavoring to keep the unity of Spirit, and then one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Verse 7 says, but unto every one of us is given what? Grace. You know what we see there? Favor. Unmerited favor. That's what grace is. No merit at all. You and I don't earn the favor of God. He gives it to us because He loves us. You think about that. Think about that. Okay, number five. We see chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. It says that we henceforth... Oh, I wish more Christians would know this verse. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. You know what I see here? I see faithfulness. You know, before when we're unfaithful, we're just every wind of doctrine, every little thing that comes around can kind of blow us around. But, speaking the truth in love. That takes faithfulness. It takes faithfulness. Okay, here's a good one. Chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Sounds like a newspaper with today's date. But ye have not so learned Christ. Go over to chapter 5, verses 3 and 8. You probably don't even have to turn the page there. It says there, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. I say amen to that. Verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Number 6, I see forsaking. The but of forsaking. The conjunction of forsaking. Hey, we once were all those things. And you know what God wants them to be? You know where God wants them, those things to be in our life? In the past. It doesn't mean you won't slip. It doesn't mean you won't stumble. But by and large, hey, we ought to be forsaking more sin than we're embracing. Come on, somebody say, we ought never to be embracing sin, and all God's people said. So if you're not going to embrace sin, you're going to have to forsake sin. Okay? Let me give you number 7. Verses 28, 29. These are great verses. Chapter 4, verses 28, 29. It says, I almost went to chapter 5 there. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, 29. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What do you see there in verse 7, Pastor? I'll tell you what I see. I see fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. Before it was thievery. And then after that, it's fruitful labor. Before that, it was corrupt communication. And now it's fruitful building words, helping people, edifying words. Okay? Number 8, chapter 5, verse 4. We have there, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. I see there something that's fervent. Fervent. The giving of thanks. Not the foolish talking, not the filthiness, not the jesting. The fervency, giving thanks. Boy, that ought to describe a Christian when it comes to fervently giving thanks. That, you know, boy, I'd love to preach on this. I can't. I got to keep going. But I'm telling you, I really believe gratitude is the key to the Christian life. I mean, you want to talk about the lock, stock, and barrel master key, because when you are thankful to God for what He has done for you, it bleeds into every area of your life. Fervent. Okay? Number nine, we're halfway home, and I got 4 minutes. I'm doing good. Hallelujah. Okay, number 9, chapter 5, verse 11 through 13. It says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. What do you see there, number 9? Pastor, I see fortitude. Fortitude. It says not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I think there's a lot of us that would say, you know what, I don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but are you reproving them? Huh? Well, I just go about my business. I think this mess in our city is about reproving the unfruitful works of darkness. What it is, amen, reproving. It's not enough just to not do the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove. That takes fortitude. That takes, forgive me, I talked to our attorney today for the NCLL, and she was telling me about some of these things and some of the intimidation the other side uses, and I told her, I said, bless God, all that does is stiffen my spine when somebody tries to intimidate somebody else out of the political process. All that does is stiffen my spine. It makes me want to get get more signatures and knock more doors and all that other stuff. Okay, moving along. I've got to move quick here. 15 through 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What do you see there? I see flourishing. Flourishing with wisdom. Understanding what the word of the will of the Lord is. Okay, verse 18. Familiar verse. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. And all God's people said, but be filled with the Spirit. What do you see there, Pastor? Fullness. Fullness. Hey, sometimes our doctrine's right, our hemline's right, our Bible's right, and we don't have the fullness of the Spirit to blow the fuzz off a peanut. And we need it. Be not drunk with wine is a command. It's a negative command. So is be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Okay, let's give another one here. Verse 27 of chapter 5. Verse 27, moving quick. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. What do you see there, Pastor? Fulfillment. One day, God is going to present the church, His bride, to His Son, the bridegroom. Fulfillment. One day. Amen. The presentation is a beautiful part of the Jewish marriage ceremony there. Okay, verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. What is this talking about, Pastor? Feeding. And it's not talking about just feeding your flesh, okay? In the context, it's that a man would nourish and cherish his wife. Amen? Just like the Lord nourishes, feeds the church, okay? So, feeding. Chapter 5, verse 32. This is a great mystery. And that's really verses 21 through 32, talking about marriage. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Say, what do you see there, Pastor? I see foundation. Foundation. Marriage is the foundation, the bedrock of society, but it's also the foundation of Christ's relationship with His church. Amen? Okay, a couple more here. We got 1, 2, 3, 4. Chapter 6, verse 4. Oh, I love this one. Sometimes I don't when my wife quotes it to me. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. My son comes in with a look on his face and he's stomping and I start to giggle. And my wife says, do not provoke your children to wrath. Amen. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What do you see there, Pastor? Fatherhood. Fatherhood. One of the great tragedies in our country is the lack of fathers. And it's this verse that we see literally being disobeyed in our society. And that is, there are so many children that are full of wrath because they don't have fathers to teach them how to control their wrath. And literally, their fathers not being there provokes them to wrath. Now think about that. One of the greatest things you do as a dad is to help your children deal with their anger. That's a dad's job. Forgive me, moms. That one's not your job. It's dad's job to do that, to teach them how to manage their anger. Okay, three more. Chapter 6, verse 6. Talking about verse 5 says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. What do you see here? We're talking about the servant relationship, the employer-employee relationship. I see followers of Christ. Followers of Christ do their job when nobody's looking. Amen? They don't need a boss. They don't need an overseer. Their overseer is Christ. Okay, two more followers. Chapter 6, verse 12. Starts in verse 10, really. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Never forget, I heard a chubby little young preacher, 12 years old, preaching on the willies of the devil. He was preaching on the willies of the devil. Amen. Watch out for the willies of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What do we see there? That conjunction. We see the conjunction of fighting. Fighting. Hey, we don't fight against flesh and blood. I wish we did sometimes. I'd like to get my knuckles a little scraped up on some flesh, but we fight against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. And then the last one, and this is a good one, is verse 20. Verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, and that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. It's verse 21 there. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. You know, the last conjunction I see there is friends. Friends. Paul said, I want to let you know how I'm doing. Yeah, I'm praying, and I you know, pray for me that I'll be able to make the gospel known plain, but I want you folks to know, you that have supported me, to know how I'm doing. Those are the conjunctions of Ephesians. Amen. And so, Lord willing, in our next lesson here in Ephesians, we'll move from God's gracious condescension to God's great compassion. And I'm telling you what, that it is found there in verse 2, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He hath loved us. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. Thank You so much for Your